Hi, Newstalk's Ciara Kelly here. There is something about summer that makes you want to refresh your home. And for many of us, that starts with the kitchen. It's where the morning coffee happens, where family life gathers, where friends always seem to end up. And after years of wear and tear, it might be time to give it the attention it deserves. So if you're thinking about a new kitchen, Tile Style is well worth a visit, because Tile Style doesn't just do tiles, they also design and supply beautiful kitchens, including the luxurious Porcelainosa kitchen collection. Think high quality, contemporary design, stunning finishes, clever storage, and a look that can completely transform your space. Their expert team can help you plan it all properly with advice and optional virtual design, so you can see how your new kitchen will come together before making any big decisions. And with Tile Style Summer Sale now on, offering exceptional value across the store, it's a brilliant time to start planning with tiles and finishes to perfectly complement your new kitchen. So if your summer plans include creating a kitchen that feels genuine special, start with Tile Style. Visit the Tile Style showroom in Ballymount to see full kitchen displays and finishes up close, or explore more at tilestyle.ie.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, from phantom buses to lack of card machines on buses, Blake Boland from Dublin Bus is with me now to answer all of your questions. Good afternoon to you, Blake.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
There's going to be a quick fire round of questions. Are you bracing yourself?
Let's get stuck in. I think this is a great thing because people have so many questions, and it's a great chance just to answer those and just help people out.
Yes. And you're not afraid to tackle some of the questions or any of the questions coming in.
No, we have to look. We have a responsibility to the people, yeah, to the communities that we serve. And within that responsibility, we have to answer the easy questions, the one we enjoy, but also the tough ones as well, because I think we're all in this together, really.
Of course. And you can only make improvements, like every industry, I suppose. I was telling Blake during the break, I was sent to learn how to drive a bus. Well, a lesson in your HQ in Phibsborough a couple of years ago. And I really enjoyed it. But it was all part of getting more women driving buses.
That's the More Manaw campaign you're talking about. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. And how did that work out?
It's going really well. Look, it's a continuous thing. You know, we're delighted with the progress that we've made. I mean, it's a very male-dominated industry. Let's not, skirt around that, really. And you're looking at about 3,500 drivers in the cohort now. So I think overall, we feel like we're starting to break barriers, really. The overall contingent of females working in the company is massively up, but that's especially true of drivers. And then you look at something like the gender pay gap reports, where we actually have it in favour of females at times as well. So, but that's changing now as more female drivers come in at different grades and salaries. But yeah, there's really good progress being
done. That's great. I loved driving the bus. It was obviously just a short day that I did. But if any woman is out there thinking about it, certainly it's a wonderful career choice, and you're always looking for more women, which is fantastic. Okay, we better get into these questions. Please ask Blake why there is no 14 bus between 6:35 a.m. and 7:30 a.m. from the Ballantyre area to Dundrum Lewis. So much for transport connections.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one there. Route 14, at that time of the morning, that peak kind of hours, there's actually buses leaving at around every 5 minutes there for a small section of time. However, there are variations of the 14 route where they will just try to connect other people at those kind of peak hours, where you could consider it in a way an extra bus that will just connect people with the likes of the Lewis that might not be going straight into town. So I think that the short answer there really is that we would love to have a connection like that with every service. But what we're trying to do is you use the resources at your disposal in the most effective way to deliver more people to more places and connect more people. So for that individual, yes, a different kind of system or setup might work better. But overall, there's a lot of departures on the 14 at that time.
Okay. Dublin Bus should roll out a park and ride service for working staff in the city centre and shoppers.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. And, we're a public transport company, so that's what we want to see is people
using
public transport as much as possible. Now, we do have 9 depots, and there'll be facilities on the site of those for the drivers working from that area. We do have our headquarters in O'Connell Street, but once again, we're very well connected there. I actually travel in from a different county myself using a blend of public transport to get in. So there's a lot of facilities there, all right, but we are a public transport company, and that's what we want to move to. Be it walking, cycling, train, Lewis, we're I'm standing here as a spokesperson for a bus company saying that we need them all. We need that blended approach.
Mm-hmm. And you're living that. You're actually doing the blended approach to getting to work yourself. Can I ask why the 24-hour bus service only goes as far as Swords? We can't get it to Lusk, Skerries, Balbriggan. Same with the 33X at 1:30. Why not send it to the end of the line for the rest of us?
This is a really good one because it's something we're putting a huge amount of effort in, is that supporting the nighttime economy, shift workers, people who are working as security guards and so on. And we feel like we've made great progress there. We're now out to 15 different 24-hour routes. And that's before you start talking about the night links. So there is, in this case, the 33N. And I think there's four services between midnight and 4 a.m. that go out to Balbriggan. So once again, it would be fantastic to have a 24-hour service. But then again, we have about 135 routes. I mean, 110 thereabouts that are in service pretty much every weekday. And to extend all of those to 24 hours, you consider the amount of resources. So once again, it's about trying to employ those resources, because once you come around to 7 a.m. the next morning, you've got a lot more people that want to get a bus into work, into town.
And the demand is even more significant. Yeah, of course. When is the 15 route being changed to the new N route?
There are no major changes. So I think we're talking about bus connects here, and we've seen the F spine recently, the E spine before that. And having said that, actually the E spine in the E2 in particular has turned into probably our most popular route in terms of passenger numbers. So there's nothing planned for 2026. Now, we do have a lot of changes coming up on a smaller scale. So recently we had the 40E and 40D changes. There have been some enhancements. I think the 15 might be on one of those as well. But if we're talking about major changes here, the next phase of Bus Connects will be next year.
Okay. Someone says, hi Blake, is there criteria for becoming a bus driver? I've only just got my full license, so still on N plates, but would love to be a bus driver.
Well, there's great news there.
Mm. You'd love to hear it.
Yeah, back in the day, let's say you used to need, you know, your bus license essentially to become in and become a bus driver. Now we have, and let's just kind of deal with this one head straight on, recruiting the volume of bus drivers that we need to service 165 million customers last year. That's a large volume of bus drivers. And we have changed the criteria now. So if you have your full car license, you can come in. The training is slightly longer, mm-hmm. but you're getting paid from when you enter. The salary is now up. So if you're working your weekend shift and so on, which of course is a part of being a bus driver, you know, you're in and around or close to or approaching that €1,000 per week. And the fact that people now can come in with a car license makes it so much more approachable for people. And we'll do the training. We'll get you up to speed. All the kind of progressive training that you need as you go through your career, that's there as well. I mean, there's other supports as well. So many of the bus drivers then become inspectors who then move up into depot management and so on. A bus driver or, you know, apprentice mechanic that is now working in the health and safety department, for example. So there's lots of examples like that.
You can progress through the company into different positions.
Absolutely.
And is there an apprentice period?
For bus drivers. So, apprentice is probably the wrong word. That's what we would apply to our mechanics who might come in and spend 4 years.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll pay for your tools and your courses and so on. But in terms of bus drivers, there is that kind of, let's say, a bedding in period. It's probably a technical term that I must admit I'm not familiar with. And my colleagues in the training department there are going to be screaming at me.
That's okay.
But yes,
there is an element
of settling in. So we have mentors and so on that will help. You know, you get training within the depot. So once you find out which depot you're going to be in, what routes you're on, you go through training for those routes as well, because some of these routes have, you know, tens of stops, and you need to know that and the nuances of traffic.
Oh, there's
and
so
how you
much to consider.
It.
Yeah, I just drove the bus around the training area that the bus drivers learn on without any of those aspects, and even still, I mean, I was very high level of concentration driving a bus. You know,
yeah, it's a really challenging job, and that's why we've so much respect for the drivers. They're trained professionals. They really, really are. And the skill. And then once you build up the experience and you get to know the routes and you even get to know familiar customers and so on, it's, you know, it's a great career.
And then you throw in personality and, you know, charisma and fun and everything else into it, which most of them always have. When will we be able to pay with card? It's ridiculous only being able to pay with the exact coins.
Yeah, this is something that we really want to see moving on as well. I think everybody does and everybody involved.
Why aren't we doing it, Blake?
So this is next-gen ticketing, and it is something that we want to move on to. So you're right, at the moment we have the Leap card, which was an improvement, and we want to get to that stage where you can pay with your phone and so on. But this is a project that is being led by the NTA, so it's not a Dublin bus system. Now, we work very closely with them on that. We're giving them all the support that we can. We'll have to retrofit more than 1,000 buses to do this, work with our own technology department. But it's not something that's going to happen in the next few weeks. I mean, we're definitely moving out to at least next year, but we can start to see some trials coming in around the country. But the thing with this is, well, it's an integrated system. This isn't where you'll tap on to get onto Dublin Bus.
But why don't you just have a tap on system like every other retailer does.
Yeah. So once again, it's an NTA system that's been brought in and we will work with them.
Okay.
But they're going on a national scale here as well. So it's not just a Dublin bus. If you consider you want to be able to pay your 90-minute fare, so that system has to integrate. Once you get off a Dublin bus, you jump onto the Lewis, you're still part of that fare. And it's all part of the one system. But unfortunately, yeah, it's not going to be in the next few weeks.
Okay, so this is almost like the London Underground ticketing system that will play out in Ireland or something similar.
Yeah, you know, and the Leap car that we have might last and run concurrently with that as well.
Okay. The timing shown on bus stops are pure fiction now. They used to be reliable. A bus can arrive that wasn't listed and vice versa. Phibsborough Road routes, E1, E2, and especially the 23 and 24, which only go to Merrion Square.
Yeah, this is something that needs to be improved. There's no point in getting around that. So when we look at the statistics on the accuracy of them, they're actually doing quite well. And it's one of those things where when it doesn't work the way it should, it really stands out and you really feel the impact of it.
Mm.
So the statistics are showing it quite well, but we need a lot more improvement. And a bit like I said there with the next gen ticketing, there is a new system coming in. So the one that's there, I think off the top of my head, is about 15 years there. It's past the period where we should be using it. So once again, this is an NTA contract that's out. It is out to tender. I understand that great progress has been made in terms of, you know, finalising that tender and moving on to the next phases. So we are getting there where we'll have a new system. We're going to have to run those two concurrently from our central control system to try to feed into that to make sure that we can bed one in without getting rid of the previous one. So yeah, a little bit more time to get that one in. And we're going to support the NTA in everything, every way that we can.
So there's an awareness there and it's a work in progress, I suppose. Could bus drivers please make an effort to pull in nearer the curb so passengers don't have to step down onto a road and then back up via the footpath? Also, I try to avail of the TFI 90-minute fare, but I'm now regularly seeing the bus waiting at every bus stop to get back on schedule, which eats into the 90 minutes. Could it be changed to a 100-minute fare? That's from Jay.
Okay, I think there's two questions in there, really. There's one about the bus approaching the bus stop. And
it's
this
a fair enough suggestion, though, isn't it? If the timing isn't, you know, working out, can it be extended?
Yeah, no, and we'll address that one thing. I think the first one was about the bus pulling in closer, and that's something that's really important to us, wheelchair accessibility. So all of our buses have the ramp that's there. Our drivers are trained in this as well. So, for example, if they recognise as they approach a stop someone that has a visual impairment, they'll pull over the bus and let that person know, you know, I am route 15 or whatever that is, so that they can then make a decision, do I want to get onto this bus or not? This is something that's hugely, we have a dedicated accessibility officer. We have a team of people that will actually go out and train people with various impairments, how to get onto the bus and use that so they can, you know, fit that into their daily lives. So that's something that, look, I'll mention that. I'll take that back to our operations team as well, just to make sure that it's been followed up on. And if that person has a specific route or stop or time, if they can give that to your producers and we can get that exact information on.
Yeah, I think you'll take that on board.
Oh, absolutely. And we definitely want to hear about these things. The second one then was the timing. And this is one that causes frustration. And I've been frustrated myself when I've been on the bus about it. It's going, why is it waiting? It's to get the bus back on time. So the targets that we're working towards here is having the bus arriving at the stop exactly when it's supposed to. Now, if a bus is 5 minutes late, you have to wait there for 5 minutes late. If a bus is 5 minutes early, you've missed that bus, that's gone. So what we're doing now is trying to keep that on time. So we have such variations in traffic. And if we get a chance to talk about congestion, I'd love to, because it's an impact. But to answer this question is that there's such a variation there. So a bus, you know, it can be stuffing in traffic. And then because it comes across somebody parking a bus lane, for example, it might get ahead as well because it's raining, not as many people are using it. So we get the bus to stop at a safe destination or a safe point along that route for a minute or two to pull it back on time so that it's more reliable.
Okay. We've thrown a lot of criticism your way today, Blake, so let me give you a nice compliment here. Have to commend the Dublin bus drivers. In most cases, they are extremely friendly and always greet with a smile. Nice way to start the morning. So that's nice to hear.
It is. It's fantastic. And, you know, sometimes our bus drivers might be the only person for contact for another person as they come across. They get onto the bus to go somewhere, and that could be their only little interaction.
Their only interaction of the day. That's a really good point, actually.
Yeah, it's hugely important. You know, and we're out in 96 countries of origin now as well. We really want to represent the communities that we're serving, and it's great to hear feedback like that of our drivers. It really
is. It's important, and as you say, it could be more important for certain people. Just very quickly, last question: antisocial behaviour, young lads on my bus every afternoon smoking weed on the top deck. What's been done about it?
This is a big problem for us, And when you say what's been done about it, well, this is one that we, in a sense, took into our own hands. So about a year and a half ago, we launched our Safer Journeys team. So that started off as two teams, has now expanded out to three. So these are trained security professionals. They go out in teams, three teams, so north, south, and then central. And we target areas and routes that are suffering the most antisocial behaviour. And that has thankfully stabilised while we're waiting for that transport security force to develop.
Blake Boland, you've got through quite a bit today. The screen is still jumping, but I think it goes back to the old cliche, doesn't it? Work done, more to do. Thank you very much for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.